Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to read one verse together, verse number 21, if you have a Bible. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them a Bible. There should be a King James Bible in the pew there if you do not have a Bible. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 21, we'll read together. The adult Bible study is still with me, amen. Unless you can sing the verse, you can sing it. Philippians 1, verse number 21, let's read together, shall we? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Let's read it one more time. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'm going to talk to you this morning about life is precious. Life is precious. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God, for being the Prince of Life. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you for the life that we have enjoyed, that we have, and for the life everlasting, eternal in heaven. Lord, thank you for the folks that are here this morning. I pray, I hope this will be a help. I pray this will be an encouragement. And Lord, I just pray that we'll just put away the burdens and the heartaches of life for just a little bit here and focus on life itself, please. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Philippians chapter number 1. Philippians 1, starting in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul writes about the conflict that he has because he would rather be with Jesus. And if you're right with God, you would rather be with Jesus also, amen? Why would anybody choose to be in this sin-cursed earth and put up with the vile and perverseness of our society that we have, except it be to help and encourage someone else? I mean, Paul has that same conflict. He'd rather be with Jesus. And he says in verse number 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So I can't wait to go to heaven. He says, I'd like to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I can't wait to see Jesus. I am looking forward to going to be with Jesus. But it is more needful for me to be with you, he says. In verse number 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I'm going to talk to you this morning about how precious life is. And as I was reading the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, it's amazing because in the third day, God, when he was done, during the third day, said, the Bible says God saw that it was good. During the third day, in verses 11 and 12, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And in Genesis 1:18, after God created the stars and the firmament on the fourth day, God saw that it was good. The first time the word life appears in the Bible is Genesis 1:20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that have life, that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. In Genesis 1:25, on the sixth day, God said, God saw that it was good. Genesis 1:30, to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God wraps it all up in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 31, about the 6 days of creation. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And I'm afraid sometimes as children of God, people that are born again, you get in this position of life, you get in a conflict, and you have troubles, and you have trials, you have heartaches, and we forget to realize how beautiful life really is. You may not have the best of situations in your life. You may have heartaches and burdens. You may have trials that bring you to tears, to be honest with you. You may have heartaches that want to make you pull your hair out, whether it's your marriage or children or health or finances. You have struggles that you have to deal with on a daily basis. And if you're not careful, you're going to let those burdens and those heartaches and those struggles outweigh the beauty of life that God has given us and take it for granted. The Word of God speaks about the tree of life, the breath of life, the time of life, the weariness of life, the preservation of life, the life of the flesh, life for life, a lifetime. The life is in the blood, the assurance of life, the adventures of life, about losing thy life, about restoring thy life, about putting your life in your hand, the bundle of life, the snares of life. Whole life, not insurance, but whole life. A long life, where they fled for their life. Prolonging life, despising life. The surety of life, the path of life, the redemption of life. Long life, issues of life, the vain life, the vanity of life. A grievous life, the iniquity of a person's life. The statutes of life, everlasting life. The pleasures of life, the cares of this life. The manner of life, the justification of life, the newness of life, being in despair of life, the life of God, the book of life, quiet and a peaceable life, the promise of life, the crown of life, the grace of life, the pride of life, the spirit of life, the water of life. I mean, there's a lot of things in the Word of God and different subjects that revolve around life itself, and we forget how beautiful and how precious life really is. We take it for granted. And we hone in sometimes just on our problems and our heartaches, and we just make a big thing about those things instead of the beauty of life itself that God has given to us and the opportunity that God has given to us. Take your Bible, please turn to Deuteronomy 30, please. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, the fifth book in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter number 30. You see, God allows us to choose whether we want to have life or death, whether to enjoy the beauty of life itself. In Deuteronomy chapter number 30, verse number 19, God says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. It is the natural state of man that man gravitates to the lowest gutter, the lowest perverted, the lowest abominable thing left to himself apart from God. That's man's sinful nature. So left by yourself, without God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the Word of God, you will automatically gravitate to things that are not right and things that are wrong. And you'll have your own pity party. And you'll think about those things instead of choosing life. The Bible says in Jeremiah 8:3, death shall be chosen rather than life. God said in Jeremiah 21:8, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And God tells us to choose. In Job 7, verse number 15, the Bible says, my soul chooseth strangling. You know why? Because you're in the same conflict that the Apostle Paul had. You have your trials and your heartaches, and you have problems in your life that you don't know how to deal with, and they're flooding your soul, and you almost want to give up, and you say, I can't take this anymore. But you forget to call on the Prince of Life who gave you life, amen? And that's where the real problem is. Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So often we as as mere mortal people, we gauge our life with the things that we've accumulated. Houses, cars, bank accounts, retirements, possessions. And we look at those things as if this is my life. That's a pretty sad gauge of your life if that's what you think of it is. My Bible says in John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. God is the one who's given us life, ladies and gentlemen. God is the one who's given us light. In John 5:39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. The reason why people are dying in life is because they're not eating the bread of life. Not only will he give you spiritual life and everlasting life, but he'll give you understanding of how beautiful even life is, even with the sickness and the disease and the turmoil and the devastation of war. Life is still a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes we're blinded by that fact. The fact that you woke up this morning, you didn't realize how good life was, man. Opened your eyes and put your feet on the ground, amen. Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words that Jesus speaks, they're life, ladies and gentlemen. And the more you read them, the more life, the more you'll understand how precious and how beautiful life is. Peter said to Jesus, thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. You may see light and you may see the sun, but you don't have life. You're dead while you're living. You may have pleasure, but you're dead while you're liveth, the Bible says. Acts 2:28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Jesus is called the Prince of Life, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, he's a Prince of Peace, but he's a Prince of Life. And so when you're at the point where you're despairing of life, I say call him the Prince of Life, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. That's what we're doing here this morning. The Bible says he giveth to all life and breath and all things, even to those who don't recognize him, even to those who don't believe in his existence. I don't believe in atheists, amen? You know, I don't believe in atheists. I don't believe in agnostics, amen? I don't. They don't believe in God. Yeah, okay. God's given them life, ladies and gentlemen, whether they acknowledge that or not. Paul writes in Acts 20, verse 24, he said, but none of these things move me. His difficulties and his heartaches, his burdens and his conflicts. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know why God's given you grace? You know why God's given you life? So you can give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody, amen? Why wouldn't God take you to heaven the day you got saved? Why? I mean, heaven's a better place than earth. Being with Jesus is better than being here. The reason God lets you stay here and wants you to stay here until he calls you in his time is so that you can be a testimony to others and try to win people to Jesus Christ. To try to be an encouragement to other people. Because life can be difficult at times. And a lot of people are struggling. And need, you know what most people need? They just need a helping hand or an encouragement from somebody. The Bible says in Romans 8, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. You know, before we were bound up in bondage, in chains of darkness, but the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God has made us free, ladies and gentlemen, amen. My Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The Bible says the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My Bible says in Colossians 3:4 that Christ is our life. Jesus Christ is our life. I mean, do you think about Jesus? Do you pray to Jesus? Do you need Jesus? Or do you need your job and your money and your house and your car more than you need Jesus? Not just for salvation. I'm passing salvation now for those of you who are saved. But once you're saved, do you depend more on worldly things and earthly things? Or do you depend more on Jesus Christ, who is your life? 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality through the gospel. Hey, you know what? When you got saved, Jesus gave you life, ladies and gentlemen. You may not have realized how much life, but I'm telling you, we were dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins, dead in our iniquities. And it is only by the grace of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that brought us and quickened us to life, ladies and gentlemen. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just a vapor. You know, you've seen the tea kettle there on the stove. And it's gone. The vapor just comes out maybe 3 inches, 6 inches, and it's gone. That's how God likens our life. That's how short it is. And we don't realize how important the time that we are spending on this earth, what we're doing for God. Because once it's gone, you're not going to get it back again. When you die, you're going to be in a place called heaven or a place called hell. And you're not going to be able to go back and do it again. You're not going to have a second chance. Say, man, I messed up. I want to redo this thing again. I'm telling you, time is running out and life is running out, ladies and gentlemen. The clock is ticking. The clock stops for no man. Time stops for no man. And here we spend most of our times grumbling, complaining, bickering, negative mindset. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. We have the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life. 1 John 3:14. Do you know that? Do you remember the day you got saved? Remember the day you asked Jesus Christ to save your soul? Huh? What a glorious day that was, amen? Huh? I walked from a room of darkness to the room of life, amen? From a room of death to the room of light, amen? From darkness to light and death to life at the moment of salvation. No church can do that for you. No religion can do that for you. No self-help program can do that for you. No AA program or NA program or no government program can do that for you. Only Jesus Christ can give you life. We know that we have passed from death unto life. The reason why some people they look dead is because they are dead spiritually. They have no hope. They have no joy. They have no life. They go through life complaining, murmuring, gossiping, bickering, going to work complaining, coming home complaining, getting up complaining. The Bible says in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life. You have Jesus Christ, the Son of God? We have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That means if you're saved, you have life. If you're not saved, you don't have life. You're just breathing. You're just taking in oxygen and taking out monoxide, whatever it is, carbon dioxide, carbon dioxide. Amen? You're just an apparatus, a breathing machine. That's all you are. In and out, in and out. Take your Bible, please turn to Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. I love life. I want to go to heaven. I can't wait to go to heaven. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I preached a message just a while ago. I said, I can't wait till I die. That's the truth. I'm looking forward to the day I die. But I'll tell you what, God wants me here so I can be a help and a blessing to other people. And God wants you here to be a blessing to other people, ladies and gentlemen. Don't cop out and take the coward's way out of suicide because you can't take it. From 2005 to 2009, there were an average of 3,533 fatal and unintentional drownings in the United States. 3,500 people a year die just from drowning. They don't purposely drown, unintentionally. I mean, you don't know when your last day is going to be. You don't know how old you're going to be. Children ages 1 to 4 have the highest drowning rates. That little child that you have, so precious, that you hold in your arms, you may not have that child very long. You just don't know what's going to happen in the future. Among adolescents and adults, alcohol use is involved in up to 70% of deaths associated with water recreation. Hear me? In 2014, it is estimated that 15,780 children and adolescents aged 0 to 19 years will be diagnosed with cancer. Children, 15,000 plus. Hey, you don't know if you're going to make it to be 20 or 25 or 30. In 2013, watch this now, worldwide there were 145,700 measles deaths. That's 400 deaths every day or 16 deaths every hour. You better be thankful that you live in America, not some third world country. You take life for granted. Let me repeat that, 16 deaths an hour. Tomorrow is coming, but God's never promised that you'll be here for it. Don't worry, the sun's coming up tomorrow morning. Don't worry about these people say, oh, the world's going to blow up and we're going to blow it. Don't you believe that stuff. Tomorrow is definitely coming. It's just that you and I may not be here to see it. Each year, unintentional poisonings from consumer products commonly found in the home kill about 30,000 children. 30,000 children. You take life for granted, don't we? Huh? We don't realize, unless we go to a funeral where someone's about 5 or 10 or 15 years old, and we feel bad for the parents or the grandparents. You realize children that are 1 to 4 years of age, 339 children were killed by homicide in 2012. Ages 5 to 9, 138 were killed. This is all 2012. Ages 10 to 14, 173 children were killed. Ages 15 to 24, 4,614 children were killed and early adults. From 25 to 34 years of age, 4,342 people were killed. From 35 to 44 years of age, 2,705 people were killed. Homicide. These are unbelievable figures I'm about to read, ladies and gentlemen. Children 10 years old to 14 years of age in 2012, 306 children in America committed suicide. Ages 15 to 24, all in 2012, 4,872 people committed suicide. Ages 25 to 34, 6,216 people committed suicide. Ages 35 to 44, 6,758 committed suicide. Ages 45 to 54, 8,862 people committed suicide. Ages 55 to 64, 6,929 people committed suicide. You know why? Because we live in a death culture. We live in a society that teaches people to glorify death. We live in a society that promotes death and honors death more in a gruesome way, in a perverted way. I have statistics here, man, from 2010. Ages 0 to 19 years of age. Over 6,000 children died of congenital anomalies. Over 2,000 children died of neoplasms. Over 1,000 died of respiratory disease. 1,400 plus died of circulatory disease. These are not fit people in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and 80s. Over 1,400 died of the nervous system disease. Over 2,000 died of SIDS. Over 4,400 died of a motor vehicle accident. Over 1,000 died of drowning. Over 838 died of poisoning. Over 1,100 children died of suffocation or strangulation. The lowest on the list is firearms with 134. That's sad in itself, but that's the lowest on the list. If that wasn't bad enough, if all those deaths, intentional suicides or unintentional killings, drownings, poisonings, if that wasn't bad enough, I'll remind you, you say we need immigrants to take our jobs and do the jobs that Americans don't want to do. And we need immigrants to keep our businesses afloat and our economy going. I want to remind you that since 1973, America has killed over 56 million babies in a womb. 56 million. There's no way that you can have these numbers and a society not be jaded and a society not have their conscience seared, that their hearts grow cold towards life. And so when you teach children in schools that God is a myth, that you're just a bunch of animals, that you're just a tadpole, you know what? That whole society now is growing up. And you're facing that on the streets, in the cities of our country. And we're now realizing the cost of that, that we've taught, instead of life, we're teaching them death. Proverbs 8, verse number 36, the Bible says, watch this, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Ladies and gentlemen, life is precious. God is life. Jesus is life. The Word of God is life. The King James Bible is life. This book is life. That is why this book is hated so much. The world doesn't hate the Revised Version or the NIV. They hate the King James Bible. When a person hates God and loves death, it shows up in their hatred for this book. This book brings dead things to life. This book resurrects the dead. This book shines life into places that were once dead. This book saves a sinner from the second death, from the lake of fire, the ultimate final death. Satan hates this book, for this book is the book of God. All you have to do is look at this country's most famous and popular musicians that we've been quoting for the last couple of three weeks in the adult Bible study, and you will see they sing about death. You look at this country's most powerful people and you will see they promote death. You look at this country's most popular sports figures and you will see they're promoting death. What goes through a person's mind and heart for them to promote suicide? Death and darkness, ladies and gentlemen. What goes through a person's mind and heart for them to promote euthanasia, ladies and gentlemen? Get rid of old people because they're just too much cost and too much in the way and too much of a problem, too much of a trouble. It was okay for your parents to change your diapers. It was okay for your parents to feed you when you were a baby. Yeah, but death and darkness now are promoting euthanasia. What goes through a person's mind and heart for them to promote killing babies? Death and darkness. What goes through a person's mind and heart for them to promote beheadings? Death and darkness. What goes through a person's mind and heart for them to promote smoking and alcohol and drugs? Huh? What goes through their mind to promote ungodly music, rock and roll, and religious contemporary music? What goes through their minds and their hearts to promote the sodomite lifestyle, to promote the feminization of men, the masculinization of women, the taking away of the innocence of children? I'm telling you, it's death and darkness that we're swallowing, that we're being taught. It's okay and it's normal. The forcing of someone's views on someone else. Hey, you don't like this kind of preaching? Go find some other dead church that's not alive. Go find some other pastor that's not alive and is dead and compromises to win a crowd. Go find some dead church. What goes through people's minds to use useful force to control other people and control other people's children? What goes through people's minds are deliberate actions of polluting the air and water which we breathe and drink. What goes through the KKK, who have long hated and killed innocent black people across this country? What goes through the minds and hearts of black thugs who are killing innocent white people across this country? What goes through the mind and the heart of Louis Farrakhan, who calls white people devils? Through the rock and roll bands that promote death and Satan and hate God and hate the Bible? For socialists who want to take from people who work and give to people who are stinking lazy, don't want to get a job? What goes through the people's minds and hearts for religions that hate freedom and liberty, where one can speak their mind? Like the Pope said, there's limits to freedom of speech, he said, yeah. You know why? Because he wants to control America like he controlled the Dark Ages for 1,000 years and doesn't want anybody criticizing the Pope. That's why. Yeah. What goes through the UN that hates America and its founders? What goes through the minds and the hearts of countries and religions that hate Israel? For socialists who do not want to see people protecting themselves. Why would you forcibly want to take away the means of weak and vulnerable people, especially women, from defending themselves from criminals and rapists and murderers? Why would you want to take their protection away? Because they promote death and darkness, ladies and gentlemen. They don't care about people living. They make a life out of darkness and death. Today, Bible Christianity is hated by our world and our president and our Supreme Court more than anything else. The one group of people that has given this nation its freedoms and liberties is hated by the powerful and the rich. They are doing everything they can to destroy every last vestige of decency and righteousness in America. That's why the media promote mystical religions that are cloaked in secrecy and dark hidden ceremonies where light and life are always shunned. Something wrong with a religion that cloaks its single men in black robes, ladies and gentlemen. You can get mad at me all you want. Something wrong with religions that want to limit free speech, like the Pope said a couple weeks ago. Something wrong with that. Anyone that says Islam is a religion of peace is a liar and is promoting death and darkness himself, ladies and gentlemen. These socialist politicians promote killing babies in the womb. They promote killing older people when they are no or little use anymore to society. Who cares about listening to the old stories about 50 or 100 years ago? Who cares about old grandpa or grandma telling stories how it was on the farm before electricity came to the farm? They promote and force filthy perversions to be taught to young children in government schools here in America. As soon as you are able, you ought to take your children out of these public schools, ladies and gentlemen. They promote drugging your children to make them zombies because they hate God-fearing parents that would discipline their children when they misbehave. They hate you having your children taught at home through homeschooling. They laugh and they mock and they ridicule what is right and decent. You wonder why our children are turning out to be so wicked and perverted. When you allow this public government school system to take your child and teach them that we are animals and take away God and take away the King James Bible out of school, then you get the results that we have today, ladies and gentlemen. People who promote death and hatred are teaching that philosophy to our children in government schools, where once all we had was the Bible in schools, where children were happy and used to sing songs and patriotic songs and godly songs and Christian songs and hymns. Now we have policemen that have to walk the hallways to protect the children. Where once prayer was a daily practice in our public schools, we now have metal detectors and atheists who dictate outlawing God and the Word of God and any mention of God in the Bible in schools. Where once our children were taught biblical truths and principles, they are now taught about heathen religions and satanic lifestyles. And then you wonder why our children are so messed up. Ladies and gentlemen, life is shorter than you think it is. You will blink your eyes and you will look back in the past 20 or 30 or 40 years and you will realize how quickly time marches on. And time doesn't stop for anyone. I say one of the most important things in life for a child of God is to realize how precious life is and to value the only life God has given you, to live your life as pleasing to God as you possibly can. Do not take life for granted. You may not be here tomorrow. Your loved ones, your friends, your family, your relatives, they may not be here tomorrow. I know sometimes you think I sound like an environmentalist because I mention how much God's people do not enjoy nature. do not enjoy the beauty of God's creation. God's people today are so modernized and worldly today. They don't enjoy being in the woods. They don't enjoy camping or hiking or fishing or hunting. Or even watching the stars at night. Laying on your back on the grass. Hopefully in the summertime you'll do that. Amen. There's a big disconnect when the world has deceived so many people and has addicted so many people to the big screen and movies and televisions. It's sad, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad. We have computers and cell phones and video games and electronic gadgets. They're only meant to enslave us and control people. They bring people closer and closer to death, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I tell people to move your families out of the cities and let your children enjoy God's creation. Instead of cement and sidewalks and steel and glass and crime and taxes promoted by socialist politicians who hate God and hate the Word of God. We now live in a police state in America. Far too often, citizens have been killed because of the police state that hates freedom and liberty. Our society is being crushed today because most everyone is in love with death and darkness. These video games have programmed the younger generation that killing people is fun. It's just images and icons on your computer screen. And some deranged individual on drugs, some deranged individual is going to take a gun and shoot people and kill people. And then the first thing going to say is going to try to outlaw guns instead of trying to right what was wrong in that person's life about the drugs that person was taking or what they were taught in a government school. That life was not precious. They just shoot them up like a shoot 'em up alley. These video games have programmed the younger generation that killing people is fun. Because they have not been taught about God, because they know little or nothing about the Bible, because they do not realize that one day they will stand before a holy God to give an account of their lives and their actions. They take those video games and take it into real life and kill innocent people who just happen to be in their path that day. We live in a society that loves death and darkness. And because we care about innocent people protecting themselves and arming themselves, it's the death and darkness crowd that vilify us and cast aspersions on us as if we are promoting death. I'll remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that for the past 400 years, most Americans have always owned and carried guns to go hunting or to protect their families and themselves. Always. The difference is that most of our forefathers believed in God in this book. So now that the socialists have removed the book and Jesus Christ from the hearts and minds of the younger generation, they have taught these same children to be animals and to hate people and to kill innocent people. These same socialists that are bent on death and darkness want to use their death and darkness reasoning to take away the only means of protecting ourselves from the same animals that their death and darkness philosophy created in the first place. You may not like guns. Don't have guns then. But why should you force me giving up all my guns? And I've said this. I said, look, if you don't like guns, you don't have to go get a gun. If you're drinking all the time, you got alcohol in a house and taking drugs, you have no business having guns. If you have, you know, if you've got domestic violence going on, I wouldn't have guns, to be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. My children were never allowed to come into my bedroom unless they knocked on the door first. You can't even control your kids. Your kids putting their hands everywhere. That's why you're going to have innocent children being killed because of lawful gun owners, and they're going to blow that out of proportion. If you're mentally unstable, about 95% of the auditorium here, I won't have guns, amen? Proverbs 16, please. Proverbs chapter 16. See, if you want to protect yourself and you want to protect your family, that means you enjoy life. You want to live. Don't you read the news? Don't you know what's going on? Hey, I suggest you reading the Drudge Report and the Infowars.com every single day if I were you. Get your head out of the media cesspool. And I'm telling you, this world hates God, and this world hates the Bible, and they hate life, ladies and gentlemen. And they're doing everything possible to snuff out anything about life. They don't want you to live. They don't want you to live for God. They don't want you to give the gospel to somebody. They don't want you to have freedom and liberty to live right, to do right. They want to control you.
I love life, and I'm going to use my life to the fullest extent possible, ladies and gentlemen. People say, well, you know, Brother Kalidas, you know, he's a loose cannon, you know. At least my cannonballs are still shooting, amen. They're still firing, amen. Yeah. I don't know where they're landing, but they're firing, amen. You fire enough, they're going to hit the right target, amen. Proverbs 16, verse number 25. Yeah, that usually comes from dead people, by the way. Yeah, dead pastors, by the way, dead reverends, by the way. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You may think it seems right. The politicians are smooth talkers, man. It may seem right to you, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say, well, my religion's good enough, until you end up in hell and you realize they were lying to you. So, you know, my lighting my candles and doing what my priests tell me to do, this is the way I was born, this is the way I grew up, and this is good enough for me, until you wake up in hell and you realize how much you hated life and disregarded life and the prince of life and the book of life and the way of life. Yeah, people criticize kind of preaching all the time, but you know what? Don't you like the singing that it produced? Huh? Don't you like the children that it produces? Huh? Innocence? Obedient children? Bible Christianity has given us the right to a trial, that we're able to come face to face with our accusers, to have our witnesses brought in against us. It's given us the Fifth Amendment. And most all the other rights associated with being charged and arrested and tried in a court of law. And you better thank God for Bible Christianity, because that's what it's given us. It's given us our rights. Bible Christianity has given you the freest and strongest nation this earth has ever known. Freedom of speech and the right to keep and bear arms. The freedom and liberty to live a capitalistic life and to earn a living was given to us by our forefathers. These socialists that hate God and hate life have put so much red tape and bureaucracy in place today to stifle God's people and their God-given abilities to earn a living and provide for their families, so that the average person will have to depend on the government to be their God, and for the government to house them, and for the government to clothe them, and for the government to feed them, and for the government to teach them, and for the government to give them health, and for the government to curse them from cradle to grave. And you can't do anything unless you ask the government for permission, because the government is now your God. What a sick society that loves death and darkness and hates the God of the Bible. My Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, and that's exactly what we've reached, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what we've reaped. The sowing of sin has now, we have reaped death. The sowing of sin has now reaped death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So even among death, even among darkness, the gospel of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ still shines through. Amen. I say choose life. I say choose Jesus Christ. And I say choose life and live. I want to tell others about eternal life in heaven that only comes through receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and as your God. There is no other way, ladies and gentlemen. Only Jesus can save you. Not a church, not a religion, not a denomination, not a building, not an organization, not your good works, not your good life. Only Jesus God, who came and died for you and in your place, so that you wouldn't have to go to the second death of the lake of fire. Do not choose death, choose life. Choose Jesus Christ, and he will give you life more abundantly than you've ever thought possible. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, so often we are so bombarded in this life with death. Just the statistics I just read earlier, the homicides, the suicides, the drownings, the poisonings. I didn't even read half the statistics. Just the 55 or 56 million plus babies killed in a womb since 1973. You can't live a nation that long and not have their conscience scarred and seared and jaded. And now these socialists in powerful positions, politicians and lawyers, who want to stifle freedom of speech and freedom and liberty and life itself, promoting death, want to snuff out the gospel.
But we know that'll never happen. Communist dictators, atheists, famous by name, have gone to their grave and have been turned into dust and ashes for hundreds of years, while the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ still shines through in the hearts of men and women. And I pray, dear God, while we have struggles and trials and burdens and heartaches in this life, and it's tempting to dream and tempting to want and tempting to wonder how it would be like just to be in heaven, it is more needful for us to be here and live the life that you've given us, because one day this vapor is going to disappear. One day this life is going to end. And every single one of us is going to say, when we get to heaven, every single one of us that are saved, we're going to say, I wish I had done more. I wish I'd given more. I wish I've said more. I wish I'd given the gospel more. I wish I'd prayed more. I wish I read my Bible more. I wish I'd sacrificed more. But it's going to be too late when we take our last breath, close our eyes for the last time. And I pray, dear God, for every individual in this room, that they would choose life, not just today, but for the rest of their life. As bad as life may get sometimes, as hard as life may be sometimes, whether they're being tortured or imprisoned, we'll start a prison ministry and sing the glories of God while we're being tortured, like the martyrs of old. God, thank you for life. Dear Prince of Life, thank you for allowing us to be born and allowing us to breathe and allowing us to live. Thank you for allowing us to meet here this morning, dear God, in the midst of total death and darkness in our society. Lord, I read this week again that Albany made it to the top five again, usually sometimes one or two, but the top five of the least Bible-influenced cities in America. So we're feeling the brunt of this more than most people are. I'm thankful, dear God, that there's life in this place. I'm thankful there's life in these people. I'm thankful, Lord, that there's life because we have the Prince of Life. Bless this invitation. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, may they get life today. May somebody who's in darkness and in death and about to go to their second death, may they receive the Prince of Life this morning. Oh, dear God, may God's people today make decisions for life, not for death. Bless, I pray. Give us wisdom, give us power, give us boldness, give us life. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business for God. God's people praying, please.